Well, listen, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 11 today, Matthew chapter 11, and I know Pastor Tim would want me to pass along to you as, you know, Heidi was ill beginning on Monday, and she was tested and then got her positive result. What he wanted everybody to know is everything's all right. So we'll continue to move forward. We're thankful that God has continued to provide us with the opportunity to open his word today. And as we read, I'd like us to pray. Father, we're grateful today for your love for us. We're thankful for the time that we have been able to focus and spend time in worship. We're grateful, Lord, that we can lay aside every burden, we can lay aside every care, and we can say yes to you. And so we're just praying, Lord, that you will help us, that you will empower us, and Lord, that you will open our ears and open our hearts, open our minds. Every fiber of our being, Lord, will reflect what we have sung this morning, I am available. And so, Lord, we make ourselves available to you and ask your Spirit to move amongst us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28, it's this familiar scripture. I believe we'll have it up there. Come to me, Jesus declared, all you that are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. As many of you may know, or maybe a few of you know, we had a group of folks who went from the church this week and went rafting. And so I believe it was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they were out on a river experiencing the glories of the rapids of North Georgia, right? South Tennessee, Southeast Tennessee. Anyway, they were experiencing the something that, you know, I didn't go, and I wrote down here to remind you that I'm too old and frail for that kind of thing now. No, listen, I tell you, the last time that we went rafting, it was me and Pastor Tim and Patrick and Justin and Grayson, and we went rafting on the river. What's the river? The Chattahoochee? In Columbus, you know, they have done some work there and created, you know, rapids and all kinds of different things that they can adjust. And I broke a rib when I went rafting that time. On the way home, I'm laying in the back of the truck, and I mean, every breath I took, and I'm moaning and groaning. They're like, ah, you need to man up. You're all right. I told them I'll never go again. Oh, but as I was thinking and praying about our scripture today, I couldn't help but think about past rafting adventures, that being one when we went together. But I'm going to season the sermon with illustrations and images from those experiences. And if you've been rafting, you will certainly identify with some of the things that I describe. And if you haven't been, I just want you to get in the raft with us, okay? And ride along, be ready to paddle when you're directed to paddle and those kind of things. Right, Patrick? Scripture uses the tumultuous. Scripture uses the river rapids of waterfalls and crashing waves of the sea, storms, as it were. Scripture uses all of those images to give us an illustration about many things in our life, particularly about the power of circumstances and the power of God, and as they stand sometimes in opposition to one another. And if we were to describe our current circumstances, I'm sure that all of us, I know in my mind, I can think of a variety of descriptive words to describe what's going on in our city, in our state, in our society, and around our world. Some of those I can't say from the pulpit, and I would avoid saying from the pulpit, but I want you to help me out this morning. If I was to ask you in a single word, and this is one of those things, I don't want any blocking. In other words, I don't want in your mind when I ask you to do something, you to say, no, that's stupid or that doesn't make sense. I just want you to say it out, and I'm going to ask you in a single word, if you were to describe the current circumstances of our society, the current circumstances as they exist in the United States of America, how would you describe those? One word. Crazy. Amen, sister. Tumultuous. Come on, shout them out so I can hear you. I'm deaf. Fear. Did you say godless? Anyone else? Chaos. What was the other one? Confusing. Chaos from the front row. Thank you, sweetheart. So in many ways, we can't help but think of all of those things. I think of anxious, chaotic, threatening, fearful, disturbing, burdensome, dangerous, depressing, and the list could go on and on and on. And as I was thinking about those things and about, you know, kind of taking an objective look at what's going on, I kind of fell into the mindset of Jesus, and many of you remember when he stood on the mountainside above Jerusalem and he declared, "Jerusalem, O Jerusalem," he wept and he mourned and lamented over the current state of what he saw in Jerusalem. And I can't help but think that Jesus, if he was standing above us and as he was looking down, that he would probably lament over the current state of humanity as he looks at us and as he observes us and observes what is going on, if we were to kind of use that image as he was over Jerusalem. And as he looks at the chaos and he looks at the concern, I can't help but think that he would describe us as he described the people of that time as sheep without a shepherd. I mean, we describe tumultuous, godless, threatening, disturbed, burdensome, crazy as those things. But as with us, he chose not to remain apart or absent from those who he lamented over, over whom he lamented. Let me put, I need to speak proper English, shouldn't I? Thank you, sir. Don't end a sentence with a preposition like over, okay? Some of you are just like, I wish he would just get on with it. So he entered Jerusalem. And when he entered Jerusalem, there were obviously a variety of things that happened, but he entered Jerusalem with the purpose of bringing a message of hope and restoration. He entered Jerusalem with the purpose of bringing a message of order to chaos. He entered Jerusalem with a message of peace and rest into the disturbance that he saw then. Now, I remember standing on the banks of the Gauley River. Now, that's not Gauley, like G-O-L-L-Y. That's G-A-U-L-E-Y in West Virginia. It sits below a dam, or that river, as many of us are familiar with Lake Sinclair, Lake Oconee, there are dams involved. The Gauley River has been dammed, and the lake, Summersville Lake, sits above it. Well, once a year, they drain it. Once a year, they absolutely open all the floodgates and the water, and they do this really with one purpose, and that's to make the Gauley River a better rafting river. And so people from around the world and around the nation and around the world come in the fall to the Gauley River to experience what during most times of the year is a relatively tranquil kind of technical rafting or kayaking thing, to where it is just absolutely, it is just, as I stood there, my friend who was a rafting guide, he had called me early, like 4:30 in the morning, and said, "James, you had told me if there was ever a spot open on a boat to raft the Gauley to give you a call. Well, today is your chance." And I was like, "Great, Joe." I hopped up and I got dressed. Of course, I went to the drop-off point, or to the point where they give you your wetsuit, because it's cold in West Virginia in October. And you get dressed in your wetsuit. They give you your PFD. How many of you know what that stands for? Personal flotation device that you put on. They give you your paddle. It's not an oar, it's a paddle. And so we ride the bus. They load you into a little bus, and they have all the rafts on the top, and they ride the bus. And while you're driving and while you're riding to the drop-off point, or the insert point of the rafting adventure, they go over the rules, right? They tell you all the things you need to know. One of the most important, now I want you to listen closely to this, because Patrick had a difficult time with this week. When it is dark and silent after you have fallen out of the raft, do not breathe in. Dark and silent, do not breathe in. Because you know where you are at that point, right? Under the water. If it's light and loud, that's when you take a breath. That is the most important rule of rafting, right, Patrick? That you need to know. So I'm getting all over Patrick this morning. He fell out and nearly drowned this weekend. He scared his wife to death as he came back and described, "You know, baby, I was just dying." I could just hear him saying it. It's like he got stung by a bee once downstairs. you would have thought the bee had a stinger 7 feet long the way he went on and on about it. That's just how he is. Okay, I'll leave Patrick alone for the rest of the sermon, okay? He's over there. Yeah, you just wait. But, as I stood on the banks of that river, after we'd heard all the rules, and I looked to our left about 100 yards, there is a dam. Have you ever seen the floodgates are open, and it just, the water that is ejecting through that dam is just, it's the roar and the uproar and the foaming and the rapids that are developed. I thought, Lord, what have I gotten myself into? What is going to happen today? How many of you feel that way sometimes about your life? I mean, you take an objective look, and you look at the noise and the power, and you look at the in 2019, for the most part, was a relatively tranquil existence and in a tranquil place to live. And then 2020, we our confidence disappeared, and the indicators of peace and prosperity went. Pfft. Because the past 6 months have been anything but peaceful or prosperous for most people. Nevertheless, we're in the raft. Yeah, I got in the raft. Even though I was looking at the water and I was looking at that dam and I was thinking, man, this is going to be quite a day. Of course, I was much younger. This was 20. I was not as old and frail as I am today. Let me just put it that way. I was young and I was adventurous. I was one of those, I call it young and dumb. You just don't know any better. So when we're in the raft and we're on the river and we're facing the rapids, and when you think of the rapids of COVID-19, a pandemic, have created insecurity and confusion. We heard those words, didn't we? Culturally, the rapids of racial tension have come to a watershed moment that has further divided us, and we feel the need to choose sides. Pastor Tim has talked about that a lot over the past few weeks, and fight one another rather than have rational conversations to honestly address the wounds, the real wounds and issues surrounding justice and privilege or lack thereof. I mean, it's been quite a year, and it has not even come to an end. We're only in July, right? And the circumstances obviously are still with us and still among us. Well, we saw an initial surge kind of fall off on the COVID-19 that has turned into another surge. So anxiety and angst abound around us. Anger and division seem to rule the day. Insecurity and fear have won over the hearts and minds of many. And I think all of us, if we were honest, would have to say there have been points during the past 6 months when that has happened to us personally. The insecurity and the fear, the financial, what is going to happen to my, if things don't get better, Lord, what is going to happen to my job? Or what has already happened to my job? I have a brother-in-law who, as soon as COVID-19 hit in mid-March, company he'd been with for 27 years. See ya. 27 years. Bless God and praise the Lord. He, within a few weeks, had another position that paid more and gave him more responsibility. And we're thankful for that. But Jesus, as our guide, sits at the back. If you've been rafting, you know what I'm talking about. There's a guide that sits at the back, and Jesus has his paddle in the water, and he's calling out instructions, knowing and reading the rapids around and ahead of us. You see, because the guide, it's not his first time. Joe, who was my guide on the Gauley River, guess what? That was probably his, 200, 300, there's no telling how many times he had rafted the Gauley River. And in, not only through his training, but his experience, as we approached each rapid, he knew it by name. He knew the ins and the outs. He knew where the danger was. He knew where the rocks were that created the hydraulics that would pull you in and pull you under and toss you around like a blender and then spit you out. He knew exactly where the holes were. One of these situations about knowing exactly where the holes were, and I still hold bitterness in my heart for Joe about this. As we approached an area of the river, and he's like, yeah, it's no big deal. Only to fall off into a 7-foot hole that tossed me into the river. And him sitting at the back of the boat, laughing at his youth pastor at the time, struggling forgetting the rule to close your mouth and not breathe when it's silent and dark. Right, Patrick? Yeah. That paddle and those instructions are our certain hope in what is very possibly for most of us, and I know for some of you this is not true, but for most of us is probably one of the most trying and troubling times we have ever experienced for this long in our lives. So, in our scripture, our guy Jesus issues a call that can make all the difference in our lives and in the life of every human being for time and for eternity. And I want us to hear him together again in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you that are weary and carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, some of you aren't as excited about this as I am, so I'm just going to tell you to excuse me, because in this past week, as we had the possibility and the prospect that Pastor Tim was probably not going to be with us for the next couple of weeks because of Heidi being ill, and if she got a positive result, you know, that's just the reality in which we live. I mean, we had some, you know, emotionally, I know Pastor Tim, you know, through because of how many people it affects, and not only, you know, the staff and the church, but his family, the children who were with him, his mother who lived, you know, all of these things kind of going through his mind, and all of us kind of returning a few weeks ago when there was a positive exposure and trying to figure out exactly what to do and how to approach it and all of those things. But I'm a little excited about this scripture because as I began thinking and praying about the message that the Lord would have me bring to his people, I was headed in a different direction. And God spoke this into my spirit. I want to share with you how that happened. I got up one morning and I was, in fact, I think it may have been the morning before Tim had confirmed, you know, that Heidi was positive. And I mean, I was already praying, thinking, saying, Lord, if it's going to be there. Anyway, I was sitting at the table and I was enjoying my breakfast, and I had set my phone on the table and put my headphones on and was playing a YouTube series of videos, just worship videos. I do that a lot. I'll sit and watch, or I'll sit and listen, and in this particular, you know, series of videos, one of them is, I've kind of fallen in love with some of these. They start out with a worship song and they continue to play, and there's an extemporaneous thing that's happening, and people are testifying, and people are singing from their heart, singing from their soul, reading scripture. And as I, in that prolonged moment of worship, as that one of that video started to flow, and the people were singing, and they were confessing, and they were sharing what the Lord was speaking to them in that moment, there was a gentleman who read these words, and my heart just within me just leapt. It leapt, and it was like the Lord was putting his finger on it. And in this simple scene, when Jesus was standing where the paddle meets the water, he was standing where he looked out over these people, and he had been addressing the haves and the have-nots, and he had been addressing those who qualify to enter the kingdom and those who do not. And as he was surrounded by people who were burdened and who were anxious and who were concerned, who were carrying the burden of the law and carrying the burden of the demands on their life of the Pharisees. And, you know, he had been confronted over and over by the Pharisees for breaking the Sabbath when he would heal someone. He was looking out over these people, and I just believe in his compassion and his love, as he confessed in the verses previous, he said, I thank God that he has revealed these things to those who've never had this revelation before. And then he makes the statement that we have read. And I believe that God, from the pulpit to the pew, from the phone or the television to the easy chair, for those of you who are watching online, whether we're in slacks, we're in shorts, or we're in pajamas. Before I came out this morning, I was watching a little bit of a Elevation Worship, and they had finished their worship set, and Stephen Furtick, if some of you watch him, some of you don't, I don't usually watch him, but he came out and he said, you know, I've had a few weeks off, and you know, there've been other people who filled the pulpit, and he sat down and he said, you know, I've missed my family. And he being, I mean, he's a great marketer, and their social media presence. He starts asking people, I mean, because they haven't opened their church yet. Their state is still kind of in a lockdown, and they haven't been told they can open their church, you know, which is thousands upon thousands of people. And so he said, I just want you to put in the chat, hallelujah. And of course, if you watch, I mean, it's just hallelujah, and people are watching from all over the world. It's just, it's like a, you know, it's just spinning as people, and he says, I want to talk to that person who is celebrating this morning and is doing what I call elastic theology. You know, that elastic waistband as you sit down and you watch us today. And I laughed and he laughed and he said, you know, I know a lot of you are watching us today in clothing or in a lack thereof that you couldn't post, but I want you, what are you wearing today? And people are saying PJ, some of them are saying shorts, and you know, and he was getting a good laugh out of it. But the fact is, he confessed, as I confess, whether you're bare feet or flip-flops or you have shoes on your feet, each of us needs to hear from King Jesus today. I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care where you are. You may be at home. You may be in your car. This may be months from now, and somehow you have stumbled upon Freedom Church's sermon. God has a message for us. Come to me, all you that are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Holy Spirit is moving in our hearts and our minds today. Amen. The Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts. He's speaking to our point of need, and we must listen and respond. We must hear and be changed. We must pray and then go. Because God has something to say. Come to me. I did a little investigation in the Greek. I do that when I get an opportunity to preach. Because word order in the Greek text makes a little difference about meaning. And it's interesting when you look at this particular series of verses, that that first phrase that is used there, that's three words in the Greek, says this: come now, hitherto, me, come now to me. Last night, I got to tell you just real quick, just came to mind. I was fixing some homemade Chinese food. I got a bunch of Chinese children, and they love Chinese food. Someone asked me one day what my kids eat. I said hot dogs, chicken nuggets, pizza. They were surprised. Aren't they from China? Yeah. That's what they eat. But anyway, I was challenged by a video. I made some orange chicken and some other stuff, and we were enjoying it. Well, my littlest one, and some of you have met her, some of you haven't, Violet, she was disturbed by something that happened. She was upset, and she was crying, and I was in the kitchen, and I had finished cooking. We were serving the kids, and we were serving the meal, and she's crying, and I said, Violet, come here to me right now. Her issue was she was hungry. And she wanted to sit down and eat. But she was refusing to come. She was looking out the back door onto the back porch, and she was hitting the... And I said, Violet, come here to me right now. She didn't come. So I walked over, and I picked her up. Because see, she had, as we perceive when God invites, that he's ready to give a whipping. See, she had perceived in my tone, and the fact that I was standing in the kitchen, Violet, come here to me right now, that she was in trouble. But she wasn't in trouble. I just wanted her to see. Because she had asked, I mean, 40 times in an hour, is the orange chicken done, Dad? No, I'm working on it, baby. I'm doing it as fast as I can. Is the orange chicken done, Dad? I just wanted to take her in my arms, lift her up, and show her the beautiful, tasty orange chicken and say, honey, it is here. But what was her perception? her perception, she's been pitching a fit for 15 minutes. Daddy's ready to just, no, never mind. I said, Violet, come here to me. And a lot of times, unfortunately, when God calls and when God invites, that's what we perceive. When we hear God say, or Jesus say, come to me, immediately within our hearts and our minds, what comes to our hearts and our minds are the failures in which we live right now. The mistakes and the failures, the sins that we committed yesterday, or maybe even this morning on the way to church, passing that old lady. Pastor Tim's told that story a few times because she was slowing him down, passing him, and realizing it was Sister Mildred. Some of you know her, and you know, you've heard the story. I've heard it 40 times, and I enjoy it every time, most of the time. But we perceive that God is, it's the going to give us, it's the good old, he's going to get on to us. But when Jesus says, come to me, he looks at us. He sees our frailty. He sees our weakness. He sees our mistakes. He sees our sin. And he says, come here right now. Because he realizes and recognizes the urgency of our arrival. He's not so much concerned with what's there and the junk that we bring. He's concerned that we simply say, show me. Because what he says is, come to me, all who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. See, a lot of times when we hear the call, we forget that the call is given because God has a provision that he has completely provided. And that is this, that Jesus Christ the righteous came to earth and he suffered and died and was raised from the dead that we might be forgiven and saved and healed and given victory over sin and death, that we might walk in that relationship and that we might walk in victory. So when he says come, he's not saying come taking the belt off. He's not some saying come cutting a switch. He's saying come because I have something good for you. Freedom, provision, peace, rest. How many of you would confess today that you're weary? I'm weary. I'm tired of how it's going right now. I'm tired of the insecurity that my friends and my family and my neighbors are experiencing. I'm tired of the chaos that I see breaking out in the city streets, and I'm tired of to be a witness of the breakdowns of families and the breakdown of relationships. I'm tired of seeing the enemy seem to rule the day. I want to hear the call and I want to issue the call that Jesus Christ the righteous is standing in the midst of us and he's saying, come to me. Not because I want to punish you, not because I want to hurt you, but because I want to give you what I have brought. That is peace and that is rest. My friend, this is not just a call to an eternity. This is a call to a present tense relationship that I can rest because I trust him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. See, it's not a call to chaos. It's a call to order. And again, I know that none of us have ever pushed, pulled, or otherwise followed a yoke of oxen. But it doesn't diminish the reality of what Jesus is saying here to these people, and we need to hear it. That Jesus has invited us into a relationship, not so that we could just go about our business and live however we would live, but we yoke ourselves to him, we listen to him, and we follow him, and we obey him. And guess what comes at the end? He says, I am gentle and humble in heart. In other words, I won't mishandle you. I won't lead you astray. I won't take you to places where you must not go, but you will find rest for your souls. Are you excited about this? I am. Because what I need from God in the midst of this is I need every day. I need that peace that surpasses all understanding. I need that assurance that there is nothing the enemy will send my way or pass through my life that can snatch me from the hand of God, that Jesus Christ the righteous has provided and he has given, and I can live at peace with God. my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is no doubt in my heart and my mind right now that each of us could say, you know, Jesus, I know you said that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, but I'm feeling awful burdened down right now. When we stand or we sit as witnesses or participate in this life, because we can't check out. I look at my children and the angst and insecurity that they've been through over the past few weeks with, you know, well, am I going to go to school or am I not going to go to school? Am I going to be able to see my friends or am I not going to see my friends? Am I going to be sitting at my home on the computer or am I going to be walking the school hall, you know, just back and forth? And, but, you know, everybody has a different solution. Everybody has a different idea. Does anybody know at this point? I really don't think they do. Know what to do. But the reality in which we live is one we do not like. Because we like to know what's going to happen tomorrow, don't we? I like to know that I'm going to get up tomorrow morning on Monday morning and I'm going to enjoy my breakfast, have my coffee, head to the church, be here, see my brothers and sisters that are on staff, share about what God has done on Sunday and what God is going to do in the coming weeks, get excited about the ministry and excited for one another. But guess what? Tomorrow that will be different. Because my pastor, and I call him that because that's who he is, he won't be here. Can I talk to him on the phone? Sure. Can we have a Zoom meeting? Absolutely. But I can't put my hand on his hand and I can't hug his neck. You see, the reality that we live in, even something that seems so insignificant, it's important. Human touch and the feel of the grasp of a handshake of a brother, the hug of a neck, being able to stand with someone face to face, not worrying about whether you're infected, they're infected, and be able to reach into their lives and them to reach into your lives. Folks, the times in which we live are obviously different, but God is telling us in the Word today, no matter your burden, no matter your care, no matter your concern, wherever you find yourself, whether you find yourself outside the fold of the sheep or right in the middle, if you're out of the raft or you're in the raft, Jesus Christ is there and He's saying, come. I have an adventure on which you can go. And guess what? I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you alone to be, but I'm going to be the master of this peace that will reign in your heart and your life. I'm going to be the master of the peace, not only that's promised for eternity, but that can exist in the life of a believer today as we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Someone here, someone there today needed to hear from Jesus today. Come. Your weakness and your insecurity, your worries, your depression, all of those anxieties, come to me. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to say, come to me, take my yoke, and I will give you rest.